Jesus was returned, the people did what? What? When Jesus returned, what happened? How did they receive him? Now, what is Friday night? A Holy Ghost night, right? It's usually where we come, the Word of God is preached, Jesus is uplifted, and the needs of the people are met. The needs of the people are going to be met, we need Jesus to show up. And when Jesus shows up, you've got to know how to receive from him. Now, Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Well, do you know when an anointing is present that Jesus is present? He and his anointing cannot be separated. Well, how do you pull from the anointing of the Holy Ghost? When something's going on, how do you reach into that glory and pull out your manifestation, and pull out your miracle, pull out what you need from God? Say, how can I receive from God? Their graces of God. So listen, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Or someone like me, whatever you were something, believe me, you were something. We had to explain to people, some people thought they were born with wings. You weren't. I'm praising God myself tonight. I'm going to preach myself happy, preach myself healed. Now, so Jesus returned. When the glory of God returns, do you know that there are ways and graces of God? You better jump in while you can. Like tonight said, you better get in while there's still chance. Get in while the water's troubled. Come, now is the time to worship. Some of you might not know, this could be your last time. You got to take advantage and not take the move of God, the grace of God, and the anointing for God for granted. There are many people that started out right here sitting in some of these seats that would love to be here tonight shouting and dancing with you and praising God. But it became time to catch the chips. Whether you like it or not, everybody's going to catch the chips one day. It's given to every man a time to die. Now, there's some of us, somebody say, glory, we are promised. We are promised over 120 years. Do you know that? That you have a covenant promise for over 120 years. Well, you're also promised to be in divine health. You're also promised that you could be prospered beyond measure, that you wouldn't have room to receive it. And some of us are still broke. Now, if you can't believe big bucks in your wallet, why do you think you're going to believe for 120 years? Nobody likes to hear about stuff. But I tell you what, you better use your time on earth and the graces of God and the anointing of God with all of your ability. Do something with it. When the grace of God is present, say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, it wouldn't have saved you if you didn't do anything with it. Grace will do you no good unless you use it. Grace is the favor of God. It's God's heart of compassion towards you. But if you don't take a hold of that grace and use it and do something with it, something with that anointing and something with that power, it will do you nothing. Anybody had somebody who was in love with you? Well, that word grace is a word for charis. It's the same word as charis, which means favor. It means they got a crush on me. Or it means that they are thankful. And they were, I appreciate you so much. Well, do you know that's the same thing as grace? Grace is literally God's appreciation for you. You don't appreciate God most of the time. You can't say thank you. I mean, you get blessed every day. You wake up every morning on his breath. You eat the food off of his plates, the food that he created, with the money that you thought you made yourself, but he really did it for you. You can't do anything in and of yourself. It's all God. You think you're making it on your own. You try to make it on your own. It's God that holds things together for you, whether you think it or not. You did not do it on your own. It all belongs to God. But many times we as human beings, we grow so ungrateful. And ungrateful people will never be able to pull on the grace of God. And the grace of God is basically God's heart of compassion towards you, saying, listen, I'm so glad you're hanging out with me. I'm going to bless you. That is grace. Did you know that God is actually happier that you know him than he? Did you know that? That you are to know him? You can't. I'm getting tongue-tied here. God is happier to know you than you are to know him. He is more in love with you than you are in love with him. And because he is, he blesses you and helps you get over. Say, grace. God is on your side. Now listen. How do you pull on that grace, and how do you use that grace, and how do you use that anointing, and how do you use that favor? Say, I want to learn to flow with the grace of God and the anointing of God. Favored. And supernatural favor. And it came to pass that when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were waiting for him. Say, endurance with joy. Endurance with joy. If you wait on the Lord long enough, say, don't rush through worship. Doesn't mean that you have to have a long, drawn-out worship service, but you just got to be sensitive in the spirit of worship. It's not a song service. It's not a concert. It's a heart softening. It's an atmosphere changing. It's like house cleaning. We worship ourselves pure that we might be able to receive from a holy God. So they gladly received him. Now, if you get glad tonight, many of you showed up tonight. I noticed there's some people here. There's a bunch of stuff y'all could be doing on Friday night. I tell you that. Maybe some of y'all in here because you ain't got nowhere else to go. Or you got somewhere to go, but ain't no money to get there. But there are some hungry hearts here tonight. There are some hungry hearts here. There are some people here that want to see a move of God and the grace of God. And we're going to try to help you. How to receive from God. And behold, listen. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at the feet and besought him. Well, let's go on beyond that. And we know the story of he was on the way to meet somebody else's need. How many know that everybody's got a need here tonight? I got a need. Do y'all want to pass your need out of the way so I can get mine met? Would y'all mind if I just butt in front of y'all? Don't seem like y'all don't need anything. Y'all can hold on to your stuff. Y'all can hold on for a week. Why don't I go and get all my needs met tonight? Is that all right? Well, do you know the anointing of God comes there, and you know the anointing of God will search out people to meet needs. And there are times when God's looking to bless somebody. And he's just going through the room saying, who can I hook up? Who can I bless? How can I work something out? Well, you got to get it. And what you're going to find out that God was on his way to meet someone else's need. There was a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of a synagogue, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus and besought him that he would come into his house. And he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Somebody was dying. You ever seen people that come in, they're about ready to drop off? So that's a great need. Let all the sick people go first. Let those that are about to die first. You go to the emergency room. The sickest ones get served first. I mean, if you're going to go to an emergency room, you got to be nearly half dead, or they're going to put you at the end of the line. You're going to be there all day long. Well, people think it's the same way with God. Do you know it's not? There was one sick person and one dying person. Now, anybody in their right mind would go to the dying person first. Not Jesus. That my need's bad enough, God will meet it. No. Absolutely not. Faith moves God, not mess. You know what? It can get a whole lot worse. It can get a whole lot worse. It does. I mean, God's not just waiting for it to hit the Richter scale. Okay, they can't take it anymore. Now I'm going to do something about it. How many of you realize that? That's not how it works. You're going to find that out. Many people are waiting on it to get real bad. And you know what? Surely, how many of you ever been to a service? You got a bunch of heavy stuff, and somebody else start getting blessed with shoes or something silly, and you're about to lose your house. You've been ministering. God's going to give you a new wardrobe, and you're trying to keep your house. Or you ain't got no food in the cabin. Talking about somebody else with diamond rings. Say, it's all gone. Because God responds to faith. And you got to learn that. God is out here looking for somebody that he might bless. Now, here's this girl dying. And listen, he had only one daughter. And I tell you, one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. Everybody say, poor little dying girl. Say, poor little girl. Help her, Jesus. See, we get these things here in our culture. They say, oh, ladies first. We say ladies first. Elderly first. Say, let the poor little children go first. Faith goes first with God. You're going to learn that. And he besought him that he would come into the house. But as he went, the people thronged him. Isn't that a shame? Here he's trying to get to this dying girl, and the people would not get out of his way. There were a lot of needs there. And not every need was a dying little girl. And you know what? I'm going to tell you straight up. You might be going through some stuff, but there's some other people that want to get their stuff met in that meeting too. Amen. Anybody try to go to a Benny Hinn meeting? I've gone to Benny Hinn meeting and see people cuss people out overseas. You hear me? Everybody's got a need. Do you hear me? Everybody's got a need, and everybody wants to get it met. You ever seen people fight over seats in Christian conference and stuff like that? Go to Joyce Meyer and sit in somebody else's seat. Go to Joyce Meyer's meeting and sit in somebody else's seat. Everybody's got something. Their stuff might not be as bad as your stuff, but everybody wants to get their stuff met. Everybody wants you to address their need. And in this meeting, everybody wants a little piece of the anointing of God. And everybody, don't you? First, some of you probably just came because you ain't got nothing better to do. But some of us realize that you can come to a meeting like this and get some things accomplished. When you come to church, you come to mean business. Best you get maybe a little laugh before you go. But it'd be nice to get a little laugh and a need met too. So the crowd thronged him. There's a whole lot of people pressing to make it. Do you hear me? You got to press. Say press. You can draw the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can. Now, if people think this is flaky, it's not. You can pull on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Do you hear me? You can pull on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can go to a meeting and say, listen, I want my need met. I don't care what that boy's preaching, what that man's preaching. I'm going to pull him to my need in Jesus' name with my faith. You got to press through. I don't care. I've gone to churches, and I had some dire need, and it was Mother's Day. Somehow I used my faith, and that message switched around to my need. Say, press. And the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years. This little girl only had 12 years. Been bleeding for 12 years. And this other girl just only had 12 years. She's about to kick it. Which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could she be healed of any. Do you know there is certain stuff you can spend all you want to spend, it ain't going to get no better. There are certain symptoms, there are certain ailments. I mean, the doctors do not know what they're doing. Or certain things. Only Jesus can work certain situations out. They still haven't figured out schizophrenia, manic depression, all this stuff. Now they say, what is it? Bipolar. And still can't give you a drug to fix and give you the same stuff they gave the one back then. Same drugs, different name. Same symptoms, different name. There are certain things that they don't know what they're doing. But I know Jesus, and Jesus makes it all right, and he can fix it if you let him. There are a whole lot of people that are sitting up there putting all their money into this, putting all their money into this. People blowing now. My friend over here, stock market man. So that's a nice thing. But you better put your trust in Jesus. And if Jesus tells you to put it over there, put it over there. There are some advisors out there, but you better let Jesus Christ advise you. The anointing of the Holy Ghost advise you in all things. God first. We always want to put God second. We always want to put God second in every little thing. You don't think about our financial areas. We don't want to think about our physical areas. When it gets real serious, we're going to go to the real doctor. I don't have anything against doctors. Don't have anything against doctors, but you're just going to find out later on that some of them don't know what they're talking about. You're going to find that out. I'm not just talking crazy. I'm talking common sense. And half the people are depressed, go in there depressed, go to psychiatrists, manic depressive, almost ready to commit suicide. And some of them actually pull the bullet after they find out their bill. Half the reason why some of them stay depressed for so long because they can't afford all those doctor bills and all those pills. There are certain situations that you've got, but God wants you free and free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And there is a man named Jesus that does heal from every circumstance and every issue. And he can deliver you from drugs. Amen. I'm talking about all of them. You don't have to be dependent upon any drug. And God wants you substance free. I'm not talking about drugs that make you. I'm just talking about the ones they give you and say, if you don't take this, you're going to drop off. Why are we going here? Why are we going here? Because it's right and it's true. I found out with the devil getting over on people this week. I said, my Lord, got them taking it. They ain't getting no better. Jesus would have healed that 3, 4, 5 years ago if you put your trust and your confidence in him. And she had spent everything she had. Some of you go hog wild for every little thing the devil wags in front of your face. You ever spend everything you had trying to make something better that Jesus said he'd make better for you? Many people spend everything they have trying to get rich. Many people spend all they have trying to make their hold their family together. Oh, yes. We know people like that. Say it'll cost you. Then after it costs you, after you spend all that money, it's still the exact same way it used to be. If you had tried Jesus, you would have saved that money. You would have saved that money, saved that time, saved that heartache, and he would have fixed it. Yes, it is Zerubbabel. And who had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Say, nobody can do for me anything like God. Now, if anybody else is going to do for you, they're going to have to do it with God. You can do it with God, but nobody's going to do for you what God can do. And God don't want nobody else taking his place in any area. On your job, God. In your family, God. Could not be healed of any, only Jesus. And she came behind him. Say, she finally came behind Jesus. She tried alternative medicine. She tried crystal balls, I guess, anything that could work. People, you would not believe some of the crazy stuff people do. Any old crazy thing, yoga, if I can bend my leg this far, if I can bend it back that way, they're just as crazy as they were before they got into yoga. This is going to give me relaxation and peace. They're just as nutty before they got in that stuff than after they got in that stuff than before they went in. Wow. But Jesus only. And people get scared when you say that. But he works. Believe me, he works. Yeah, he pays. He pays you to let him heal you. And came behind him and touched the border of his garment. She got close enough to touch him. Say, just a touch. You got to get beyond the song. I like the song where you reach out and touch him. And there's some of us that are living in the phase of, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Well, I'm so glad she wasn't stuck on that song. She reached out and touched him. Because he was on his way to touch somebody else. You can reach out and touch God. Did you know that? You get close enough to touch the hem of his garment. Don't wait for the waters to get troubled or something like that. And all of a sudden, the preacher feels sorry for you. Then all of a sudden, the meeting stops and they go your way. And then all of a sudden, your need is met. Say, listen, I don't care if he looks my way. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to touch God tonight. Did you get your touch? Yes, I did. I reached out and touched him myself. Did God touch it? Did the anointing fall on you? I grabbed it. I touched him. That's what she did. That's how she got healed. She didn't wait for him to say, oh, look at this poor little bleeding woman. Said, there are a lot of poor little bleeding women. I'm going to tell you what. There are a lot of broke people. There are a lot of people that got the same mess I got tonight. You get to the point to where your faith touches God. Say, I decide I'm going to get touched tonight. I know where my provision is. I know where my source is. I'm going to touch God. I'm going to get close enough to him and say, the anointing's there. I can reach out and touch him. Stop waiting for somebody, for the rain to fall on your head and all that stuff. She touched him. What did he do? I'm going to touch Jesus. I'm going to reach out and grab the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, I'm a real kinesthetic with the Holy Ghost. And touched the border of his garment and immediately. Say immediately. When Jesus turned around? No. When was her need met? When the meeting turned and all the attention was turned to her? When? Say immediately. When she reached out and touched him. Immediately. God, when are you going to work it out? He's already worked it out. And immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied Peter, See, there's Big Mouth. And they that were with him said, that means he was the loudest one, Master, the multitudes thronged thee, and the press, and pressed thee. And you said, who touched me? Don't you see all these people in here? And you up here talking about who touched me? You know, God leaves every meeting like that, I believe. We go out to eat and stuff like that. God goes up there and he says, somebody touched me in that meeting down there Friday night. Well, it wasn't a multitude here on Friday night. It didn't used to be, and there will be. But how would you like to have that kind of faith where Jesus talks about and says, hey, somebody touched me. Woo, he touched me. She touched me. Who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me? Isn't that a change for God? It even sounds like a rock star or something like that, doesn't it? Somebody touched me. Who was it? You thought that day when God blessed you and the lights came on and you felt that feeling, that embrace of God and all that stuff went on, how excited you were about it, say, wow, that was God. And you know what? Up in heaven, God was saying, he touched me. He touched me. You can reach out and touch God with your worship. You can touch God with your praise. What kind of relationship would you want to have and you're always the one? Yeah, I love you. Woo-hoo. I'm there for you. Every once in a while, our faith and our heart says, listen, I'm the pursuer of God. There was a mighty man of God. I tell you what, I believe it was Charles Finney. If not Charles, it was one of the huge revivalists. No, it was either Jonathan Edwards. We'll find out. I don't want to lie, but it was a very notable revivalist. So, and this revivalist said, listen, God, if you don't come down here and touch me, and you don't come and take this sin away from me and do all this other stuff, I will ascend to heaven and touch you myself. That's kind of weird, isn't it? God granted his request. God granted his request. Touch God for yourself. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive God noticed that something went out of him when she touched him. Do you know that every time God touches you, something happens? But listen, every time you touch God, something happens. Something could happen tonight if you reach out and touch God. She touched God and virtue left him. She got what she wanted from God. Every time you touch God, your need will be met. Not every time God touches, every time God touches you, your need will be met. But you can get as close to God as you want to. You reach out and touch him and you can receive your healing. Whatever you have need of tonight, don't wait for the band to play and all the other stuff. You say, I'm going to reach out and touch God. And as soon as I touch him, immediately virtue will go out from God and my need will be met. Somebody will get it in about a couple weeks or so. I mean, about a year from now, somebody will finally catch on and say, whoo. And the woman saw that she could not be hid, and she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Say comfort. Thy faith. Say your faith. What is faith? The down payment to what? Faith is a down payment to a miracle. Faith is a down payment to victory. Faith is a down payment to anything. Your faith hath made thee whole. Your action, what you did, what you moved on, what you stepped out on, not just sitting there waiting for me to do all this other stuff, but what your faith did, your action and your deed, that is what made you whole. She reached out and touched him. Tonight, if you could remember anything, if you could learn anything, I want to let you know that you have the ability to touch heaven with your faith, to make connection. Faith is the connection between you and God, and you can connect with God tonight and get your need met.